This week's episode of Shockwaves is sponsored by RLJE Films and their newest release, VFW. Stephen Lang, William Sadler, Martin Cove, and Fred Williamson are in for the fight of their lives in Fangoria's VFW from director Joe Bagos. Now playing in theaters, on demand, and digital HD. See it on the big screen and own it on Apple TV today. Horror fans, NABNew.com is your new destination for keeping up with the latest horror collectibles. At launch, NAB is aggregating 27 of the top online stores into one place so you can find the new releases of DVDs, toys, figures, comics, vinyl soundtracks, board games, and more. Simply follow your favorite horror properties and you'll get a custom feed with all the day's new releases that matter to you. And since we have everything in one place, you can easily compare prices across vendors, check stock availability, and nab it before it's gone. NAB is more than just horror. You can follow everything from American Psycho to My Hero Academia. So we've put together a special collection for Shockwaves fans. Head over to nabnew.com/horror to check it out. That's NABNew, NABNEW.com/horror to check it all out now. It's 2020 and Fangoria Magazine is back on shelves and Fangoria.com is on a mission to bring you even more horror content than ever before. It's a great new decade to be a horror fan. Fangoria.com is your destination for all the horror news of the day, featuring a constant curation of the Fango editorial team's favorite links from across the internet. You'll also find deep dives and daily thoughts from the biggest names in horror, as well as exclusive access to the Fangoria Vault, including the first 10 issues of the magazine right now. Become a Fangoria Plus member and receive 4 coffee table worthy issues of the magazine, full digital access to Fangoria.com, invitations to special events and screenings, and much more. Go to Fangoria.com, become a member today, use the promo code SHOCKWAVES for 15% off right now. And tonight's episode of Shockwaves is also brought to you by Fright Rags. You bring the pizza, Fright Rags will bring the all-new officially licensed collection from Slumber Party Massacre 1 and 2. Fright Rags drills into Slumber Party Massacre 1 and 2 for killer apparel featuring 3 designs from the 1982 slasher, along with 2 from its outrageous sequel, including an epic 2-sided tour shirt, shipping worldwide and available right now. Also, just in time for Valentine's Day, Fright Rags is breaking hearts with a reissue of its popular Bride of Chucky design, now on pre-order through Monday. All available exclusively at fright-rags.com. Listeners get 10% off with their order with the code WAVES10. That's fright-rags.com. Use the code WAVES10.
Hello.
If some of you are here for the live Shockwave show, and if you are, hello. If you're not, we are Shockwaves, the Blumhouse and Fangoria podcast that comes to you live, well, live-ish, every Wednesday night.
Not live at all.
No, not live at all.
Not live in any capacity.
That. We're not live. We record. Yeah. Can you guys hear us in the back?
For the people in the back.
Sounds good? All right, great. This is our first time doing a live show, an establishment such as this. Again, let's give a round of applause to Grill 'Em All.
Yeah.
For being the best fucking burger joint in Los Angeles. If you didn't hear me earlier, I'm Ryan Turek. I'm one of the co-hosts. This is
Ulrich Kane. You can call me metal as fuck.
That is not true. That is definitely not true.
Elric just learned what heavy metal was.
I listened to a Slayer song today. It was awesome.
We're gonna educate him tonight for sure. I'm Rob Galuzzo, one of the other hosts.
And I'm Rebecca McHenry, one of the other hosts.
Yay! If this is the first time you've heard a Shockwave show, generally we begin the first hour talking about cool movies. Talking about cool comic books, talking about cool stuff. And then we kick off the next hour with a special guest. Tonight, Rob, why don't you give our special guest an awesome introduction?
So this is our first time doing a show at Grill 'Em All, obviously, with the setup here and all. But Sitting next to me is Christian James Hand of The Session. He breaks down songs and makes you hear them in a way that you've never heard them before. Elric just heard his first Slayer song in the last month or two.
It was we listened to it three times. No, we were playing pool a couple of weeks ago with Monty. One of our friends from the Phoenix Film Festival was in town, and we decided to go play pool. And Monty put a Slayer song on the jukebox, and Elric literally goes, "What's this?"
I thought that was Pantera.
Yeah. Oh, no, wow. No, no, no. God, no. What is wrong with you?
That's why I'm here to learn.
I'm never coming back here.
I've come to learn.
Never come back.
I had the napalm burger. I'm ready.
So
napalm death burger.
Napalm death.
So in a few minutes, we're going to do our usual hard talking, but in a few minutes, Christian is going to break down fucking Rain and Blood for you.
Oh.
And if you've never heard the elements of this song, your minds are going to be fucking blown.
Yeah, it's going to explode.
Yep, and we're going to educate Elric on Slayer.
And while you're waiting for that special event, don't forget to order the Shockwaves fries.
The Shockwaves fries.
Have it made special for tonight.
With truffle pub cheese.
Yeah.
Beer truffle cheese.
Beer truffle cheese.
Beer truffle cheese. Truffle cheese.
All right, so let's kick things off. I mean, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about My Bloody Valentine, because by the time this episode airs, it will be Valentine's Day. The original just got a re-release from Scream Factory, the uncut version.
Do we have My Bloody Valentine fans in the house?
It's a great band.
We got two.
We have a great band.
Two people with hearts.
Shoegaze.
I think the band named themselves after this movie.
No, the movie named themselves after the band, you fucking savage. How dare
Fair
you.
Enough. Yeah, Ryan, did you watch this new disc?
I watched as much of the disc as I could. And I have to tell you that it is probably one of my favorite transfers in recent memory. It looks absolutely gorgeous. And the Shout Factory Blu-ray comes uncut. It's the My Bloody Valentine version, uncut, restored footage, and it's almost seamless.
And we had the director on our show
about a year ago.
Yeah, about a year ago.
He didn't know if it would ever happen, right? Like, no. He didn't know if that gore would ever be put back in the film.
Well, what's interesting is Lionsgate did do a Blu-ray of this, but the inserts were kind of like, they were really terrible quality.
Yeah, you can tell, yeah.
This is completely restored, so it's pretty, I don't know where they found it, maybe it just resurfaced or whatever, but no, this looks flawless, and it puts it on par with like a Friday the 13th sequel,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Like, My Bloody Valentine is legitimate, like, one of my top five favorite slashers of all time.
How's it compare to Valentine?
I've only seen Valentine once.
Has a great kill in this hot tub.
I guess so.
I remember enjoying it in the 90s. Yeah. I was young. Probably foolish.
I will revisit it.
I would think so.
Right. Elric, what did you see?
You know what? Oh, God. Guys.
Oh.
I'm not even kidding. I'm going to get really excited for a moment here.
Do it.
Blair Witch Project, good movie. Right? Remember that when that came out?
Yeah, sure.
Eduardo Sanchez, I had never seen his second film, Altered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Altered.
Honestly, it's one of the best films I've seen this year. I am not even.
Really?
It reminded me of a mixture of Extro and some other. I mean, it showed. Look, it was so. The cover of it is so bad that I. That's why I never saw this movie.
So why is that? Why this one did
like
not get as much
film.
Attention?
They packaged it like a found footage film, and it looks even worse in terms of aesthetic than Blair Witch. This is a really great indie. Like a dark hicksploitation comedy horror. Basically, a bunch of hicks are hunting something at the start of this movie. You realize it's an alien. They catch the alien, and it's one of those movies that's all about what happened 15 years earlier, and they never show you what happened 15 years earlier. And that's so great. You've got all these adult men who are all now messed up, trying to deal with the trauma that had been done from this alien abduction. And it's these weird implants with like a clicker that reports back to the motherland or whatever. But I watched this with our friend of the show, Dick Gerner, and I had never seen it. And he goes, "I remember liking this." And we looked at each other when it ended, and we were like, "This is like should be
movie.
A classic." Yeah. And I don't know. And it was like 7 years after Blair Witch was his first movie, which is shocking to me.
Yeah.
And then he went back after this film. He kind of had to go back to the well to some found footage, which is disappointing. But this is, I mean, I'm not kidding. This will be at the end of the year. This will be in my top few because it was so much fun, and it doubles downs on the person in a rubber suit, alien in a rubber suit, in a way that works so well, and you miss it. You miss that feeling of like, you know what, we know it's a person in a rubber suit, but it works.
Wow.
Anyway, Altered, if this is one of the ones you missed, back like me, because the cover looked like crap, this movie's magic, and I hope we can get Eduardo Sanchez on the show now at some point.
I think so.
Because this is a great film.
That's awesome.
Loved it.
Yeah.
I've been working my way through the Tartan Asia Extreme films.
Oh, yes.
And I had seen the bulk of these when they came out, when they did the releases here, like 2002 to the end of the 2000s. I think they stopped doing it around 2008. And I decided that I was going to start going back through and getting some of the ones that I missed. And so I've been kind of binging those over the past couple of weeks. And so the one that has been like my big discovery was one that I thought I'd watched before, but I never saw, was R Point. Have you guys seen this one? R Point.
I remember that one.
So I had never seen this one before, but it was definitely my like holy shit discovery of kind of going back through these films so far. And it's been really cool to visit, like Marabito. I forgot how much I enjoyed one. And I rewatched Infection. And
is that the one that's like mostly green goo in
that's
a hospital
Infection.
Room? That's
yep.
Infection. Yeah.
Infection's really small, self-contained. They're in a hospital. They wheel in some guy that nobody wants to deal with. So he literally like rots in a hallway. And then the infection kind of takes over the whole hospital. But R Point, I really loved. It's set in 1972 South Korea, and it's or it's set in Vietnam, and it's a South Korean platoon gets this radio distress call from this platoon that they assumed were dead. They'd been presumed dead for a long time. And so they send out this new platoon to go rescue these people that they thought were dead. And when they get there, weird shit starts happening, and it gets really, really trippy. And somehow missed that one as part of the original Tartan Asia set. But, I mean, they released, like, somewhere close to, like, 50 films in, like, a four-year period.
And some great stuff. Some great deep cuts in there.
Can I just ask something?
Yes.
At what point are we going to stop answering distress calls from weird fucking places that we shouldn't be answering?
Oh, no, we always have to.
We both have to.
It's such a brilliant setup. It's mandatory. How else do we have horror films?
I was ever in a ship in space, and they were like, we have a distress phone. I'd like, fuck it. Leave it. Let somebody else. There's a bunch of idiots behind us that'll go see it. And nobody says no to a distress call. We'll just keep going, and we'll survive. It'll be fine.
If you do not deal with the phone call from your friend who died 10 years ago, then where are we in life? I mean, that's how we get there.
Nah. I'm a Christian here, man. I don't want to answer anything.
I just want to talk really quick. I made a discovery over the weekend. I went to a local comic book shop and found all five issues of Innovation's early 90s Child's Play comic book.
Oh, yeah. Saw that.
Yeah. Super cool. Found it super cheap. And, I didn't realize that basically the five-part series takes place between Child's Play 2 and Child's Play 3.
Yep.
So what you have is... basically, it's Chucky. It's kind of wandering around, meeting odd characters along the way. Meanwhile, Andy Barclay's mom escapes from a mental hospital and goes on the hunt looking for him. So along the way, Chucky meets a house full of horror movie fans. He meets Dr. Death, the kind of voodoo priest guy from the first film. He conjures up his spirit. It's a fun. I mean, like the voice of Chucky is pretty accurate and pretty intact. But it's a fun read. If you could find it, it's a nice little bridge series.
Yeah. Nice. Have you guys been staying up on The Outsider? Because I caught up on that.
We're one episode. Yeah.
I can talk about The Outsider.
Horror Month. It's Woman in Horror Month, and Karen
Kusama's episode was fucking amazing.
I love that
episode. My God.
So good.
Yes, so good. I highly recommend it to anyone else who has not been watching The Outsider on HBO. Whoever the actress is that plays the detective, she is amazing.
I think she was nominated for an Oscar this year, isn't she, Harriet?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, Harriet gosh, Tubman. She is just amazing. And then I also didn't even know it had been released, but I doubled back and started watching The Terror Season 2, The Terror Infamy.
Oh, yeah.
Set entirely in Japanese internment camps. I'm only on episode 2, but it's really tight. Yeah.
Wait,
like,
the Terror
really.
Is out already?
It came out in September.
It aired in September and is now on Hulu.
Yeah.
I loved the first season. I had no idea.
Yeah, neither did
there's
I.
Just, there's so much happening and so much coming out. Content. It's hard to keep up. But you know what? Don't rush it. Just get to it when you get to it, man.
Lock and Key?
I haven't seen Lock and Key, but I did watch the first episode of Sabrina Season 3, and I'm a fan.
How was Lock and Key?
Lock
I know you watched
Who
it.
Who here has read Lock and Key?
I have. And I love it.
But I love the comic of Lock and Key.
I think I'm going to agree with you.
It was like watching a YA version of it, and I didn't even think I could get through the first episode. I watched two more to make sure I was like I liked it a little, but it just was so different.
I mean, Lock and Key itself is a little YA,
no,
even
but
though, I mean, you're still dealing with these child protagonists.
Yeah, no, you are, but they're treated like adults. Like all the, like even think about Stranger Things. People think of it as a kids thing, but there's also adult storylines running through that that are actually treated pretty realistically.
Am I allowed to say that Stranger Things is unwatchable bullshit?
We're all wrong
at some point. That is a TV show looking for a reason to exist.
That is some fighting stuff there.
Wow. Garbage.
I love it. But
Rob does love it.
But I have a feeling that it would be the success of Stranger Things that might push them to take Lock and Key in that direction.
I think that's why, but it's sometimes you can see that generic casting that feels like TV casting.
Do they still have, like, I mean, the kid who dies every time he goes through a door? I mean, yeah, like, they, is no, that type of dark element still in there?
It's clever, it's well shot, but it's like I'm watching it going, yeah, but if Mike Flanagan made this,
oh, yeah.
It'd be a whole different level.
That
you're
would.
Feeling that watching it, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know if I could say this, but when I was at FearNet, they made a pilot for it, like, 8 years ago.
Director of The Machinist made an original pilot.
It's really bad.
Yeah, Machinist is not bullshit.
Yeah. Machinist is not bullshit.
That I liked a lot. Yeah,
yeah. Machinist is terrific. But no,
he doesn't eat these burgers.
The Lock and Key pilot from like 8 years ago completely truncates the entire first book into one episode.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
And it's really bizarre, and it didn't exactly work.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm optimistic about this new series. I'm going to try to keep watching it. I watched the first episode, and like you, I love the original comic, the graphic novel, and it didn't feel like it was capturing exactly what I loved about that book.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. We'll see.
The effects are good, and it like kind of feels fun, but I think sometimes also you have to like go, oh, this is for a younger crowd than me, and so maybe I just don't need to watch it, and somebody else is going to love it, and that's cool. I can deal with that.
Cool.
Kind of like metal.
I think it's time to start raining blood, frankly.
I know.
That's great as well.
Let's jump in.
So, Christian, teach Elric about metal.
Yes, because Elric is new to Slayer.
I love Phil Collins as much as you do, and therefore there must be an in here. Why should I be looking for?
In that case, young lady. Well, first off, we should clarify for those learning that this...
Can you hear it? Oh, that's Pantera.
This is Pantera.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right now...
See the movie Demon Knight? All right.
This will... So this is what Pantera sounds like. This is what Phil Anselmo sounds like. Ready?
Can't you see? I'm easily bothered by persistence. One step from lashing out at you. Hear what answer in a...
Got it?
Yeah.
That's Phil Anselmo.
We don't like Phil, or we like Phil?
What we love Phil.
Okay,
we love Pantera.
We like Pantera. All right.
Pantera features, you know, two of the greatest guitarists, the drummer of all time. Both, unfortunately, have passed away. The Abbott brothers, but they are unbelievable. Rex is ridiculous. And Phil Anselmo on vocals is terrifying. So you should definitely listen to that at another point. But the reason that we're here this evening... is for a certain band by the name of Slayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who did a record in 1986 called Reign in Blood, which is R-E-I-G-N in blood, as in a king reigning in blood. The song is called Raining Blood, which would be blood raining down. That's one of the great things about the English language. It sucks because it's incredibly difficult to learn it if you're somebody else who's never spoken it. Rain and rain. Two different spellings. Context is everything.
English rain and blood too.
I love it.
1986. Ready? Yeah. You can hear the rain. Sounds remarkably like regular rain, but it isn't. It's blood. So,
thicker.
You got through this bit, right, when you were listening in the car? You got through the rainy bit?
Right.
Here we go. Got it? That's what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the best part about this song is that it's, let's see, it goes from 30 to, it's about 4 minutes long, and the vocals occupy probably 36 seconds of that entire time. I'm not shitting you. nothing is being sung on this thing. Like, everybody should... The lyrics is the smallest lyric sheet in the history of music. So, it's from 1986, as I said. It's produced by a gentleman, by a young lady by the name of Rick Rubin, who's done a few records in her day. Yeah. And it's mixed and engineered by a guy by the name of Andy Wallace, who is a monster of a mixer engineer. And when he did this record, this is the reason he got to do the Nirvana record, because Nirvana was stoked that he had done the Slayer record. So they said, we want that guy to make our record sound like our record. And then he made the record sound like he did. And then immediately Kurt Cobain said, this sucks, it sounds like a Motley Crue record, I'm pissed off now. So just be careful what you wish for, you never know. So we start with some thunder. I don't know who played it. Probably God or Satan. I don't think Satan's in charge of thunder. And then some rain. And then a couple of thunderclaps. Could also sound remarkably like a hamburger cooking at Grill 'Em All. It's a little tough to decipher sometimes on the sound effects. Its context is everything. And then more thunder. And then a backwards sound of a scythe going. And then the last of the thunder before this starts. That's one guy. It's not a small marching band of little people. This is one dude, and his name is Dave Lombardo.
Yes,
he is the he's actually known as the godfather of double bass, and he's called astonishingly innovative by everybody in the drum world, because he is. No triggers. This is a human being playing a drum set. Now the best part is that halfway through it, Lombardo quits because he doesn't want to do this anymore, and then, which is so great, and then Rick Rubin convinces him to come back and finish the record by picking him up in his Porsche and saying, if you finish the record, you might get a Porsche out of it. I don't know if Dave Lombardo ever got a Porsche out of it, but he certainly got a wicked friggin' drum track. So this is the first bit, which is absurd, hence the godfather of the double bass. Already ridiculous. We haven't even got started. This is merely the first 20 seconds of the song. Then he does some stops where he gets a ready. And now it's really the only way to make it more difficult on yourself is to go, well, fuck it, let's just do a double time. So when you do a double time, which is what this is called, for those of you that don't know that that's what this is called, because it's twice as fast as the last time that you played, hence double time. This. I love a good melody. And then double up on the hi-hats, just because you want to make it harder on yourself. And then some of this. That's a drum fill, by the way. That's not a mistake. That's a human being playing that, and it goes like this. It goes. So if you do this, Jesus. It just goes. Right? Right? Yeah, no, it's everything. Then we get some stops again. Should probably put the headphones on for this.
Okay. He put it on Elric. Just see it.
The hell yeah.
Get me in, coach.
So you can appreciate it, you fucking savage.
Oh, big difference.
Yeah, it's slightly different than listening to it over the sound of hamburgers frying.
I don't even know. Phil
as intended by Rick Rubin, I might add. He was like, oh, dude, this is how it should be listened to. So yeah. Then a little bit of this, and then back to. Right? Yeah, now you get it. Now I can see that you've wisened up. And then some stops. Yep. And then halftime, because it's half as fast as the last time it was played. So a halftime action. And then we come out of that to this again. Yeah, let's double bass drum.
Elric's eyes are bleeding.
So into this. Now you get it. Let me take a space. Lombardo grabs a beer. Can you hear what's going on here?
Yes, up there you can hear it for sure.
Listen to this fill. Now he's about to really prove his mettle. And then this. And then he turns to Rick and says, "Where's my fucking Porsche?" And Rick's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." What are you talking about, a Porsche? So this is the speed up once again on the ending. Ready? Getting faster. 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 And that's it. That's Whoa. Dave Lombardo earning a paycheck.
And that's just the drums.
Beautiful.
Just the drums.
Just the drums. So the bass is Tom Araya, who is he was a respiratory therapist, financed all of this with the money from his respiratory therapy business, whatever you'd call that. And he is doing this, which is great, because there's probably no bass in the speakers.
Oh. Hold on a second.
So you're not getting any of that.
No.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Right, but you can't hear it outside of that.
No, just that. Yeah.
Just that. Can you hear the bass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is
yeah.
Playing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's all you can hear.
Yeah, there's no, where's the... It's not going to come out of the speakers because there's no low end in the speakers. Let's see if we can make it happen. Yeah, it's going to be hard. Well, you know what? Fuck it. It's metal. Is the bass really that important?
No.
Really. Let's
That's
be
Jason
honest.
Instead.
It's just Jay. Yeah, ask him. Ask him. So trust me, the bass is gnarly, but it's not nearly as gnarly as the drums, and it's also not nearly as gnarly as this, which is just one chord. Here we go. So it's Jeff Hanneman. And Kerry King. And this is the first record he plays on. And here he comes. Ready? It's the sound of terror. And... Now, Christian, I hear you ask, is this not the same Kerry King who played on No Sleep Till Brooklyn by the Beastie Boys? Yes, in fact, it is the same Kerry King who played on that. And the reason he played on that was that he was working in the studio, and Rick Rubin was down the hallway from him, and he walked in and poked his head and was like, "Hey, would you come and play some guitar on this thing that I'm doing?" And Kerry King said, "Is it that thing you've been doing in the studio?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "No fucking way. That thing's atrocious. I don't want anything to do with that." And Rick was like, "Come on, man. It'll be fun." So he went and played in the No Sleep Till Brooklyn song. And then on the video, Kerry King is the dude in the monkey suit before the fake Kerry King jumps on stage and plays guitar, because Kerry King didn't want to be in the video. Once again, useless trivia, but it'll win you a bar bet at some point, I'm sure. Put the drums in too, you get what we call Slayer. By the way, this is not a guy sucking. This is two guys doing really, really good shit. It just sounds like those two douchebags in Guitar Center who play really fast who don't know how to play, because they're trying to play this riff in Guitar Center and they can't do it well. It's not that these guys aren't great. It's that the dudes at Guitar Center who can't play it right aren't great. We all on the same page? Moving forward. By the way, you should also know that King and Hanneman as one guy are both number 10 in Guitar World's top 100 guitar players of all time. Both of them as one person. Not separately 9 and 10 or 10 and 11. Both are number 10. Oh, this is so metal. You remember earlier you might have said metal as fuck. This is the dictionary definition of metal as fuck. So this is when one guitarist is playing in one section of the neck and the other guitar player is playing in the other section of the neck, and together they go from this to this. Yeah, yeah. And then back to this. Sing along if you know the words. There aren't any. At the drums. And then we get big again. This is relentless. Oh yeah, you should know. So here's a useless information piece of factage. The whole album has 10 tracks on it. It is 29 minutes long. Okay? It averages 220 beats per minute for the whole record. That means nothing to any of you because you know nobody knows what beats per minute means. All right, so here we go. Let's break this down. Jesus fucking Christ. I didn't know that's where we were starting. You know the minutiae of who directed the second fucking unit on some obscure Japanese horror film that nobody else in the world has seen.
Oh, we totally know that. Yes, we do.
You don't know what beats per minute are, all right?
Get an idea.
All right, so here we go. This is how we break down beats per minute. So in a minute, there are 60 seconds, right? So if you played 60 beats per minute, you'd play one beat per second. If you were playing at 120 beats per minute, you'd be playing two beats per second. So if you're doing 220 beats per second, that means you're playing 3.5 beats per second.
That's metal.
Metal is...
No, got it. We won him over.
And Elric has won. Music appreciation works.
It's metal as fuck to do 220 beats per minute. We're no longer simply in the metal world,
night,
all right?
Elric learned.
So we get to the end of the song. We get this bit, which is the remaining 30 seconds goes like this. Beautiful. It's nuanced. That's what I like about it the most, is the subtle interweaving. Put Lombardo in. Got it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. I don't know.
All right, so, well, the only thing that makes this more metal would be to have a ridiculous guitar lead over the end of it. So, of course, you got to have one of those, which is provided by the great Kerry King. And that's what this sounds like. What's your favorite bit? Is it the bit where it goes or the bit where it goes?
I'm thinking Ferris Bueller, like, never had one lesson.
never had one lesson. And if you put both of the guitars together, you get this. Which honestly sounds broken. Right?
Elric, yeah, you got it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you're still on board?
You got this?
Do you understand Slayer now?
I was when I got here.
Prior. Okay, all right, great. Prior. So all together, don't forget there's no singing at the end, so this is what yeah. everybody's doing. Got it?
I got it.
You got this? You got
it. Wow.
You do. You do. If anybody's got it, it's you. All right. So the only thing that's going to make it more metal would be to have the wailing banshee over the top of this thing. So here's, let's see if we can get this so we can hear it. Here's some terrifying vocals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You don't even notice it.
No.
Explained it.
Yep, yep. Here comes the chorus. There isn't one. There you go. That's it. That's yeah. all the vocals for the yeah. entire song. It's literally like 35 seconds, and he says raining blood twice in the whole thing. So, kids, stay at school. That's all, right? There's plenty to be done. And then, we're not even going to hear this, but there's a great version of this by Tori Amos that goes like this.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tori Amos' version's sick.
Yeah, Tori Amos.
Yeah.
This is Tori Amos?
Tori Amos doing Rain and Blood, yeah, man.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's a little bit different. If you haven't heard this version, get it, because it's ridiculous. There's a lot of screaming, but it's way... It's not quite... The drummer... is working a lot less hard in the Tori Amos version, I'll be honest with
no
you.
No Dave Lombardo.
No frankly. Dave Lombardo involved in that at all. And then, of course, the song ends with the biggest thunderclap in the history of thunderclaps. Because it's raining blood, everybody. Has anyone seen Slayer live?
Yes.
Did you see them when the blood rained down from the... Yeah, so when they do this live, there's actually red, which obviously not blood, though it would be way more fucking metal if it was. But it's pretend blood that rains down from the sky all over the stage as they're playing this song. Angelo, is it routinely the last song of the set? Yeah, that would make sense, because otherwise you'd spend a lot of time mopping up fake blood while everyone was trying to play the rest of the fucking
set.
You know what's
a cool horror movie that rains blood?
What's that?
The Evil Dead remake.
Yes. That's right, yes. They do it.
Evil Dead remake rains blood.
I think it's Slayer every time.
Yes. Well, that would make sense, obviously. That would be raining blood, R-A-I-N-I-N-G, not R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G, for those of you playing along at home. So that is Raining Blood by Slayer in its entirety. Obviously, the lyric sheet is the smallest of all of the lyric sheets in the history of music. This is a ridiculous piece of work. If you haven't listened to it in its entirety, get a set of headphones on and listen to Rain and Blood, because it'll blow your mind. And Slayer have retired. from playing live. They're done. So this is an RIP to Slayer. But nonetheless, what a discography. Check it out if you haven't.
Yeah, amazing. Let's hear it all together.
So good. Do you want to listen on the headphones?
Yeah, kind of. Spoil me.
So much better.
Smokes. Thank you, Christian.
Right on. Thank you so much, Christian. Right.
Thank you guys so
now you
much
know
for joining us.
Hold on. I got before we start this contest, I got to ask Elric, how do you feel about Slayer now since you're the newbie?
This is so much better now.
It's a whole different world.
Do you understand
friend
the power, the difference between Pantera and Slayer?
It's actually not too dissimilar to Phil Collins in the sense
very similar
that the drumming is fucking on tack.
It's very, right? Very good.
Elric's going to wake up tomorrow. He's going to be tattooed. He's going to have patches on his jacket.
Yeah, yeah.
I told him he needed to get a Lemmy tattoo.
But no. It is interesting when you isolate the elements, so many things I wasn't hearing at all.
That's the segment, my friend.
No.
Welcome.
That's it. Well,
yeah, it's really, it's probably, I should do that. It's a good idea. Let me think about it while I'm on the way home.
Okay. Well, we're nearing the end of our show. If you're just joining us, we're Shockwaves, the Blumhouse and Fangoria podcast.
Yes.
Now, Rob G and I have copies of My Bloody Valentine to give away. We talked about this earlier.
Ray release. Two copies here.
Two copies. There's the, you know, it's really funny. I opened this and it says theatrical version and uncut version. And I just want to throw the theatrical version out. Like, who
right
wants
out
that?
Yeah.
Who wants that version?
But there's special features on that disc, Ryan, so you can't throw it out.
You cannot.
Okay.
Not somebody who listens to Slayer. That's
who. No.
I'll tell you that much.
I will
all
say
right
the best thing, the tagline is, there's more than one way to lose your heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Classic.
I guess the other way is to have some fucking psychopath rip it out of your chest cavity. Is that the point
uh-huh
of the movie?
They can't you put the that sure on a box cover. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's true. It's true.
Okay. So what we think we'll do is we're going to bring
trivia
up trivia.
Trivia.
I have one question.
We're
going to
do trivia.
Have a second question?
Trivia.
I will have one by the time you finish.
Great. Because Grill Mall has been bringing me beers the whole time, so I've only got one in me.
All right. Okay.
Also, said.
Okay, who's here to listen to the show?
That's
good.
That's a good crowd. Oh, my gosh.
All right. If you want to win a My Bloody Valentine come on up here. We're gonna pick you that way.
Raise your hand. All right, raise your hand if you want to win a copy. You right here. Come on up.
Don't be shy.
Come on, reach your hands in the sky, everybody. Come on, let me see. Who wants to win one? You with the hat, way in the back. Oh, all right. You right here, creeping behind the burger head. Yeah, you. All right. Come on up. You raise your hand. Come on up. We need two more. Who's got good horror trivia?
There's actually a website called Canucks.
Yes, the man with the Halloween shirt.
There we go.
You have impeccable taste. Come on up.
Do it.
Brilliant.
Right, we got a handful of people.
All right, yeah. Come on up. All right.
Yeah, he needs to do it.
Why don't we line you guys up right here?
Right here across the back, guys.
Great.
You've each got to eat 4 Metallica burgers.
Napalm death, that guys.
That's the first stage of the competition.
All right. So we've got... why don't you introduce yourselves?
Yeah, hi. Tell us your name. Casey Lee.
Michelle Halloween.
Chris.
Gene.
Norm.
Sylvester.
Well, first off, thanks for coming out to our live event here at Grilla Mall. Thanks for listening to the show. I think Rob's trivia question is...
It's easy. Okay,
it's
ready?
Easy.
Now, don't shout out. I want you to raise your hands. Okay. What is the name of the song that plays during the end credits?
Of My Bloody Valentine.
The theme song. What's the name of the theme song of My Bloody Valentine? The original. Nobody knows. Come on. We got it. It's the name of the killer. It may be a ballad. It may be a ballad of the killer.
You got this one?
I just want to give it to one of you. Please.
What's the killer's name?
What's the killer name?
Is the killer of this movie.
Oh, no. That was actually for them. But
Thank you. Great.
What is the killer? Oh, did you just say it out loud?
If you could put all those pieces together, you have the answer. The song...
Well, he did. He said it was Harry Warden.
So there we go. So we're out.
Right, somebody behind you is raising their hand.
Oh, who's raising their
hand? Are they in this conversation?
Oh, what is it, sir? The Ballad of Harry Warden.
Ballad of Harry Warden.
Then he wins it.
What's your name? Pete? Nice to meet you, Pete. You win. All right.
One more. You do the trivia now.
All right.
Look at this bunch.
Let's assume they haven't seen My Bloody Valentine, and that's why they want a copy.
You have. Okay,
there
great.
There you go.
Yeah, that's why they're
but
so
not the
like, ready for a copy.
Okay. There is a slasher film set around New Year's Eve. What's it called? Yes. New Year's Evil.
I can't believe you asked a New Year's Evil question. Of all the horror films you could go to for trivia, you went to New Year's Evil.
My name is Evil. Yeah. That's it.
That's where Ryan's head goes first. I need a horror trivia. New Year's Evil, of course.
Always goes to New Year's Evil.
I always think about New Year's Evil.
All right. Well, thank you guys
for
playing.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for coming out,
everybody. Thank you
for coming out. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So we are Shockwaves. The show goes up every Friday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
I said incorrectly that we go live on Wednesday.
We record on Wednesday. We're not live.
Our episodes go up on iTunes and Spotify.
Stitcher,
the whole deal.
On Fridays.
Yes.
And rate and review us. You can find us on social media, Shockwaves Podcast. But thank you all for coming out.
Yes.
Any final words from you three?
Well, Christian James Hand, you do this once a month in L.A.
I do.
And you travel. So tell us, where can we hear more of your breakdowns?
If you go to thesessiononair.com, it'll give you all the information there. There's an archive of the KLOS segment Monday mornings at 9 a.m. with the Frosty, Heidi, and Frank squad. And then I do one of these at the Los Angeles College of Music, one at Live House in Pasadena, in Los Angeles proper. I also do it in New York and Chicago and San Francisco. So if you're listening from those areas of the country, get on the website as well. Find me on Instagram at King Trut. That's TRUT. The explanation is stupid. And I will hopefully see you on the interwebs. Thank you so much for having me. Dave Lombardo, you're a fucking badass.
All right. Let's give it up for Nikki and her team at Grilla Mall.
Thank you guys so much.
Keep me stuffed full of burgers all the time. All right, guys, we're out.
We're going to start a band.
Thank you. For
me.
Of course.
Thank you.
Metal as fuck.
Metal as fuck.
Elric, I look forward to your long hair tomorrow.
What were the lyrics about?
This week's episode of Shockwaves is sponsored by RLJE Films and their newest release, VFW. Stephen Lang, William Sadler, Martin Cove, and Fred Williamson are in for the fight of their lives in Fangoria's VFW from director Joe Bagos. Now playing in theaters, on demand, and digital HD. See it on the big screen and own it on Apple TV today. Horror fans, NabNew.com is your new destination for keeping up with the latest horror collectibles. At launch, NAB is aggregating 27 of the top online stores into one place so you can find the new releases of DVDs, toys, figures, comics, vinyl soundtracks, board games, and more. Simply follow your favorite horror properties and you'll get a custom feed with all the day's new releases that matter to you. And since we have everything in one place, you can easily compare prices across vendors, check stock availability, and nab it before it's gone. NAB is more than just horror. You can follow everything from American Psycho to My Hero Academia. So we've put together a special collection for Shockwaves fans. Head over to nabnew.com/horror to check it out. That's NABNEW, NABNEW.com/horror to check it all out now. It's 2020 and Fangoria Magazine is back on shelves and Fangoria.com is on a mission to bring you even more horror content than ever before. It's a great new decade to be a horror fan. Fangoria.com is your destination for all the horror news of the day, featuring a constant curation of the Fango editorial team's favorite links from across the internet. You'll also find deep dives and daily thoughts from the biggest names in horror, as well as exclusive access to the Fangoria Vault, including the first 10 issues of the magazine right now. Become a Fangoria Plus member and receive 4 coffee table-worthy issues of the magazine, full digital access to Fangoria.com, invitations to special events and screenings, and much more. Go to Fangoria.com, become a member today, use the promo code SHOCKWAVES for 15% off right now. And tonight's episode of Shockwaves is also brought to you by Fright Rags. You bring the pizza, Fright Rags will bring the all-new officially licensed collection from Slumber Party Massacre 1 and 2. Fright Rags drills into Slumber Party Massacre 1 and 2 for killer apparel featuring 3 designs from the 1982 slasher, along with 2 from its outrageous sequel, including an epic 2-sided tour shirt, shipping worldwide and available right now. Also, just in time for Valentine's Day, Fright Rags is breaking hearts with a reissue of its popular Bride of Chucky design, now on pre-order through Monday. All available exclusively at fright-rags.com. Listeners get 10% off with their order with the code WAVES10. That's fright-rags.com. Use the code WAVES10.
Fangoria and Blumhouse present Shockwaves. Shockwaves is a member of the Fangoria Podcast Network, hosted and produced by Rob Galuzzo, Elric Kane, Ryan Turek, and Rebecca McKendry. Sound recording, mixing, and editing by Ernie Hurtado. Music by Gregory S. Burkhart. Logo art and design by Aaron Crawford. For Fangoria, Dallas Sanye, Phil Nobile Jr., Jessica Sapova-Mare, Brandon Wynardi, Natasha Pacetta, and Rob Galuzzo.